Okay, we started the subject, finding favor with God and men. And you can't have one without the other. If you expect to have favor with God only and not man, then something's wrong. And so, do you have the notes back there? Huh? Let's pass out the notes at this time. I promised you notes. How many of you remember that? I usually don't like notes on a Sunday morning, but this warrants having notes. And so take one per family, and so there'll be enough to go around. And if there's not enough to go around, that means huggy up. We have to be in love with the body of Christ today. While they're doing that, I just want to say that from last week that many of us want favor with God, but most of the time it's in regard to ourself only. Give me favor for what I need, a job, a mate, things, position, etc. Most of us come from that avenue. But favor does not come all at once. It's gradual. But there is a favor that comes right away with when you get saved. And the favor is you're His child. You have favor with Him concerning coming into the kingdom of God. And that's the part that we link favor with God only, is what God has given us in favor. That kind of favor with God only is one-sided. And that's His side of the equation. Praise God. Thank God for a favor bestowed upon us apart from ourselves. Amen? But once we gain favor with God, then that's where favor grows in us. It grows in us over a period of time. In your notes, you'll find in Psalms 5:12, "For you, O Lord," now notice this, "for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield." The righteous means an ordinary person who is honest and true and justice, even with other men. Psalms 30, verse 5 says, "For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Isn't that good? Now, why did he even bring out Psalms 30, verse 5? His anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. It means you never lose a position of favor with him. But there's a time in your life that you will be corrected or chastised by the Lord. And if you've never had that happen, it means you're living a perfect life. He says you might feel weepy, but I like what it says. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know what he's saying there? Even if he had to correct you or chastise you, it's a different day tomorrow. You know, God, man, I'll tell you what, he knows how to put vision in us. Amen. I like this one. "Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain." Now, David's mountain was referring to his fortress of Zion. It says, "Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain to stand strong." Whew. Proverbs 8, verse 35. "For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Now, notice that favor isn't something that you have to earn. That comes from God, period. Hallelujah. Most of the time, we want to know all about God's favor for us. But we don't want to find out what we have to do to gain favor for man. There's a difference. That's why I gave you these scriptures. They're different. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. And all those who hate me love death. But favor. That's where you got your little notes here? Favor. This is the key. To show partiality towards one for the purpose of him to be the advantage of others. This word in most of the occasions of the Bible is found in the expression, find favor in the eyes of. It means someone is beholding something in another. Then I got in your notes here, now we have an issue to deal with. God is no respecter of persons. If that being the understanding of the word favor, being partial, how does that play out in the New Testament scriptures? There is no partiality with God. So I put New King James Version here, Romans 2:11, for there is no partiality with God. God does not play favorites, is what God's word translation says. Acts 10:34, then Peter said, now I understand that God doesn't play favorites, literally shows no partiality. And we brought out the word prosopon means face, and lambano means person. And so we would better translate it to receive a person at face value only. Most of the time in our relationship with one another within the church, the arena of the church, most of the time, favor for man is only viewed by us towards them for what they do. But when it comes to like the book of 1 John clearly tells us we're to love our brothers and sisters, not predicated on what they're subject or capable of doing or what they have done towards us that was wrong, but we're still to hold a position with them in love for the God that is in them. And so a lot of times we don't want to give man favor when we only see that favor has to be earned by us. But God doesn't, His word doesn't cover one-sided favorness. He says if you found favor with God, then you'll find favor with your neighbor. So you will love your brothers and sisters on that same level that God has loved you with and given you favor for. In spite of you. Well, in spite of. We come up with church religious little con games why we cannot heal a relationship with a brother or sister in the body because of their mistakes. And that days are coming to an end. We're going to learn to love one another in spite of our mistakes. That's the love of God. And our love is stronger towards a brother or sister that needs help by us loving them first before judgment ever comes. Praise God. Praise God. If the Lord has a fresh day for us, after correcting us, why wouldn't we have a fresh day with our brothers and sisters in the Lord? You see, we needn't be hypocrites. We've lived too much, people. We've lived too much in church history. It's time it comes to an end and live out of the Word of God. It's too hard on us because we want people to pay. So he says, the answer is, one is whom he will receive. God will receive anyone that wants him. There is no partiality there. That's what it's referring to. One is whom he will receive. Job 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The other one, point number two. The other rests on who he is willing to promote. That's why we gave you those different verses. One is God's It's solely on God's part to have favor with us. But the other one says, if he has favor on us, we'll have favor with others. So the other one is whom he is willing to promote. Most people want favor with God to promote them, to give them favor with man, and never change, that's the other side of your paper, and never change the way they live before God and man. That basically has no integrity in it. If God is going to promote favor in the eyes of others for you, what is he going to use in you to promote favor on your behalf with others? What is there in you that's of him to use in ministry for others on his behalf? It has come from what's in you, not him. It comes from what's in you, not him. If you want favor with God and man, then God will say clearly to you, you already have favor with me. But I, because you have grown in me, then I will put in you what is required for you to gain favor with man. Now, here's some verses that many of us don't like to look at. And I put them in your notes. Galatians 6:7, Galatians 6:8, Galatians 6:9, Galatians 6:10, Romans 8:5, Romans 8:6, Romans 8:7, Romans 8:8, and Hebrews 11:6. Now, why did I put these scriptures down here? Well, these are scriptures that we need to take into consideration to understand before the thought of having favor with God even comes into play. These scriptures are important for us to understand. So the first scripture, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Galatians 6:8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Pretty interesting scriptures, huh? I know some people that probably don't even know they're in the Bible. Verse 7 here of Romans 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And most of us as believers go through life, and what we do, we play mind games with ourselves. And don't realize that humility begins in our own framework of thinking. Do you know what humility is? Can anybody tell me what humility means? It literally means to open a door for special insight. And most of us live our Christianity, our walk with God, through our natural mind, not realizing it should have no authority in our thinking. When it comes to a higher understanding of God's Word, then we've got to tell the mind, you go into a place of humility so that I can receive the insight of that higher knowledge. That's important for us. Because you cannot know God with your natural mind. You are so limited to know Him that you can't know Him. You know Him, but you don't know Him. There's a difference. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And a lot of believers want favor with God. They want to be rewarded by God, but they don't want to do no diligent seeking. They want all things to work together for their good, but they don't want to really love God all that much. Now look at Proverbs 11:27, Proverbs 13:15, Proverbs 14:9, and Proverbs 16:7, and Proverbs 3:3, and Proverbs 3:4. These scriptures, they define the individual who has favor with God because of what he does. Are you ready? In Proverbs 11:27, he who earnestly seeks good, and I got in parentheses moral goodness and virtue, finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. Look at Proverbs 13:15. Is there a heaviness over the congregation, or would you rather have me play the harp and the flute and dance, or? Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding. Oh, I like this. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. The way of the unfaithful. So, in order to have favor with man, after having favor with God, it means you gain good understanding. And in good understanding, you're found faithful. Proverbs 14:9. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. You know, these are interesting Greek words, or not Greek words, but Hebrew words. Interesting Hebrew words. The word mock at sin, the root word of that means to mouth something, to speak it with the mouth. But the other meaning doesn't mean to speak with the mouth. The other word for guilt means to have no regard for the consequence of sin in others' lives. Because when he says mock at sin, the word sin there is not like to miss the mark. It literally means guilt. In other words, when God works in your conscience to get you to do right, you disobey it. You violate your conscience with him. And that's why you can mock at sin or have no regard for the consequences of what you approve of, not him. See, it takes and makes these words a little different meaning. It doesn't mean someone who just mocks sin. No, it's talking about a person. A person who literally is doing something called sin and no regard for his conscience towards the effect of it in other people's lives. We're seeing that coming on our ground. We're seeing it playing in our society as we get closer to the end, because now we're approving homosexuality, a moral issue that really has no business with legislation. You follow what I'm saying? And so we need to get a hold of some things here. Proverbs 16:7. Well, excuse me, let's go back to 14:9. But among the upright, there is favor. This word upright is really, in some translations, called righteousness. It literally means to be in agreement with what is right. To be in agreement with what is right. If you want favor with God, then you better be in agreement with what is right. And not be a mocker. Not to understand the consequences of what we're going to cause in other people's lives because we don't agree with the cutting off of sin in our life. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with me. Or with him. Now, I want you to think about that verse. It literally means if you do man right, if you do him right, even though he don't like you, he will be at peace with you because you do him right. Most of us try to justify our animosity towards them because of their wrongdoing. That ain't going to win any favor with God. God said, if a man wants your coat, give him your cloak also. If he wants you to go a mile, go too. No, we use God to judge him. Here's another one. Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Boy, what is that all about? Are we really out to have people give us high esteem? I thought we were more centered around God. I'm going to tell you something. What will fulfill your heart and your life and make you feel good is that when you do something good to somebody that you don't like, and he turns around, and he makes it clear he don't like you, but he has to say, touche. Well done. Most of us don't. How many of you have ever driven in a car in traffic? How many of you have ever cut anybody off because you were ticked off? Not me. Most of us got the sign language when we cut somebody else off. But have you ever noticed that when you do good to somebody on the road, you get a warm feeling all over? How many of you, when I've stopped to let somebody in because they were frustrated, nobody else would let, I'd stop. And they come out and they give me the high sign. Oh. Now, I don't want to talk about the times I... You better watch that. I've learned the hard way that you just don't cut off every car on the road. Because today, cop cars do not have cop all over them. And it was a Saturday morning. I was going down to the range to be with my son on the base and everything. And this Charger, I get so mad at people when they speed up. There's a truck in front, and they just cut right in front of you. Do you guys like that? There's just something about us. I am in this lane, and I'm using it. And so I'm driving along, and there's this truck, and this Dodge Charger comes, and he's trying to get over, and I see, you sucker, and I just cut him off. I got past the truck, and I went, boy, I did him good. I looked in my rearview mirror, brr, brr, brr. That's a cop? And that's how I pulled over. And he come up. He says, you know why I pulled you over? And I said, yeah, I cut you off. No, that is not why I pulled you over. He says, your windows are tinted too dark on your truck. What about yours? Didn't flinch him one bit. Made that ticket out in beautiful form. I could even read it. So I went to the Lord about it. I said, Lord, this is not fair. That cop told me if I go to court, I'd probably get off. Because that's a cheesy thing to pull a guy over. Especially when his windows are deep tinted. If I could have seen him and saw his badge or whatever it is, I'd have let him, hey, I'd have been real courteous. You know what I mean? So I'm mad. You don't want to go to God in prayer because he keeps that principle. If they ask for your coat, give your cloak also. If they want you to go a mile, you go two. God don't forget those principles. And God said, pay it. Yeah, but pay it. Okay. And next time, be courteous. All right. It worked. I'm very courteous now. Praise God. So these are important scriptures for us to understand that there's something that we do within ourselves to make favor with God. That's what he promotes in the eyes of other people, what they see in you. Did you know that most of us in our fellowship with people, and not relationship, but fellowship with people, do you know a lot of us fellowship with people with the understanding of the nature that they walk with? How many of you know that some people that you walk with, it's easy to have a conversation with them because they're very courteous, they're humble, they're sweet. And if you ever had to go to correct them, they would receive it. Because the Bible says a wise man will receive correction and increase in knowledge and understanding. And so some people, you're able to walk with them and do that. And some people are able to correct you, and you got to stay at peace with them, and you don't have a problem with it. You accept what they say. Boy, it's hard though. At the time, it just tears you up. But after a season, it helps you. It makes you a better person than what you are. And how many of you know some people, man, if you say the wrong thing, you're going to lose your head. I mean, you that's how a lot of times we walk with each other, reactionary. But when you want to really have favor with God, you're going to do some changes within yourself so that you'll have favor with men. And so we're talking about how to have favor with God, man. And to be perfectly honest with you, we as believers don't think along those lines. We don't think of having favor with God and man. We don't think along those terms. Most of the time, we just want favor with God to help us. To put us in a position to have an advantage, whether it's a job or whatever it is. But I'm going to tell you something. If he says that there's something I can do that would even make my enemies be at peace with me, boy, that's saying something, people. You know, that's saying something. Now, you might want to write this down because this is not in your notes. But I want you to write this down. There are three things that in order to have a desire to have favor with God and man, these three things have to be in your thinking. They have to be a part of your mindset when you come into the kingdom of God. You have to have these three things. Before you even talk about having favor with God, you got to have these three things. Number one, a purpose or cause. Your life should have purpose and cause. Whether it's a job, whether it's a position, or whatever it is in life, even being a believer, once you've come into the kingdom of God, now what is your purpose and cause? Because if you don't have a purpose or a cause, then how can you search the matter out? See, most people, they come into the kingdom of God, and they just want the kingdom of God and the knowledge of the kingdom of God just fall on them. But my Bible tells me if you want to know about the kingdom of God, you got to go after it and search diligently for it. You see. And so you have to have a purpose and cause for whatever you do in life. Whatever you do in life. Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. And you and I are kings and priests unto God. And we're to go and search out a matter with everything that is within us. Point number two. Very important point. And I'm going to tell you something, people. If you don't have a purpose and cause, you're not going to have an impartation or vision. You will not have an impartation of vision in your life. Proverbs says, where there is no revelation, vision, hazon. This really is referring to a prophetic vision. A revelation that a prophet had received, because it's out of the Old Testament. So whenever the prophets came to the people, they imparted vision. And it says here, where there is no vision, hazon, the people cast off restraint. And the word there literally means left naked and no protection. So if you want favor with God and man, you have to have a purpose and a cause, and you have to have impartation. You have to have vision. And then when you have that working in you, you have protection. Because the Bible declares that when you have favor with God, you have protection. And point number three, a very important point, extremely important, your intent. The complete intent. End results of what you want to accomplish with your life. Whether it's the church, whether it's the job, whether it's a business, no matter what it is, what is your intent? Most Americans today, their intent, their end results is to retire. Well, you and I as believers, we should have that in the retire thing. It should be in order for our intent on expanding the kingdom of God, no matter where we're at. Because we have favor with God. Most people work their whole life for retirement. Give me a break. Our minds have got to be greater than that. It's got to be more active than that. That's why a lot of people in retirement die. They ain't got no more purpose. They ain't got no more vision. And their end result is, I can take it easy until I croak. And so having purpose, having vision, having good intent, these three things have to be strong in your heart in order for you to have favor. Not with God, but with God and man. Because you already got favor with God. But God can't promote anything into you until He can work something in you where you'll have favor with man. Does this make sense to you here this morning? Was it too far above your heads? Most people come up and says, I'm believing for a new job. I'm believing for a new job. Good. I want God to give me favor. I want God to give me favor. What's your credit history like? What happened to the last job you had? Why did you leave that? What is the last job that you had you lost because you couldn't get to work on time? What's God going to use? Your resume? Especially if your resume is in the toilet. Trash can. No, you see, God will promote you with man, give you favor with man, if you're doing something called righteousness, if you're honorable, if you're full of integrity, if you have good stewardship. I mean, creditors nowadays, they look at your church history. Somebody said, I want favor with God. I got all these bills and I need God's favor to get out of them. You know what? I thought this was real funny. I had a young man in my life one time wanted favor for a bailout. He got financially in debt and wanted to bail out. And so he asked me to pray for him. But I had fellowship with this young man in such a way that I saw a change in his life. He went through some traumatic things in his life that were very traumatic. He lost his family. And it was all based on his stewardship. And he started coming and asking me questions. He held meetings with me. This has been a little while back. And so I imparted to him what the Bible says and everything. And I began to notice change in this young man. But he was still in debt. And so finally he came up to me. I don't know how long he was with us, but since he was coming for counseling and everything, he came to me and he says, "You know, Pastor," he says, I respect your anointing. And I respect what you shared with me." Because the word anointing, whether you realize or not, means appointed. So I've been appointed to the position. I mean, you know, some people have a hard time with authority, don't recognize anointings. The only anointing they recognize is their own. They can't receive from leadership that has an anointing because they don't realize that God put him where he's at, appointed him to be there because he qualified himself to be there. And he came to me and he says, "Pastor, I recognize your anointing and I recognize the things that you had shared with me. I've come to the point where I have been a major disaster. And I want you to pray that God will turn this around." And I said, "You know what? You recognize so many areas in your life that were so long. And I've seen you adjust over the year. I think it was about a year. There's a change in you." I said, "Why don't we ask God to give you favor to bail you out?" He says, "Can I pray that?" I said, "Yeah, you qualify because God's working in your heart in these areas where it talks about having favor." "Really? Oh, that would be great." I says, "Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. If he's going to bail you out, he ain't going to do it all at once. You're going to do it in clumps. I feel that. But with every blessing, it'll be such that you know it was supernatural." He says, "Oh, Pastor, lay hands on me." I laid hands on. I prayed. And by gosh, he had three blessings hit him over a course of 3 or 4 months that totally put him out of debt. And he went into ministry. I was shocked. I said, "God, he should have earned that." And God said, "He did." God will give favor, supernatural bailout to you if he knows that your heart has changed. And I've seen it where God will have new converts come into the house of God. And probably some of you have even seen this where you have new converts come in and it seems like they come up for prayer and get healed right on the spot. And they've been in church very long. And you see, they believe in, tithe and offering. And so they start tithe. And then all of a sudden, they're out of debt. God just drops a wad of money. And I'm sitting there, "God, they haven't even been in church long enough to even have favor with you. And they're just getting bailed out." He says, "All convert, new convert," he says, "I put them in this little capsule and I do everything to encourage them to grow on. To grow on." Kenneth Hagin said that there was a family who wasn't faithful at church at all. And then when they'd show up, they'd kind of just bless them with everything. And then they had these old churchgoers just hate that family because they could never get what they got in their in church and their faithful. Issue of the heart. It's an issue of your heart. You want favor for God? Where's your heart? You want faith? Faith is motivated by your heart. You guys got something tonight, right? I hope it's not tomatoes. Praise God. So with that said, everybody stand up. Oh my gosh. What happened to me? I was following the Holy Ghost this morning, I guess. When you follow him, he shuts off half your sermon. Now, last Sunday, we had a real good altar call on having favor with God, so we won't have that prayer line again. But how many of you finally got the vision of what that means? There's a favor God just you inherit, and then there's a favor that you're blessed of because God can promote whatever He puts in you. Well, that's something you gotta realize. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, now as we close this service, if there be anybody here who has never had the privilege of receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Father, we want to pray for them. And I know this is important, Father. And so if there's anybody here that has never said the sinner's prayer, we want to pray with you. The Spirit has been working on you, so feel free to come forward. Last Wednesday night, I was a little ashamed of myself. I should have gave an altar call because some people want to come forward for salvation. So we can never tell in the service. And so if you're here this morning and you've never said the sinner's prayer, we want you to feel free to come forward. If you've said the sinner's prayer, you have been saved. And yet you've gotten away from the fellowship that you once had with Him and want to restore that and to have favor again with God. Whatever caused you to, the cares of this world, whatever it was that caused you to be distanced from Him. People, I'm telling you, it just takes a second to get right back where you once were. If you've abandoned your first love, you have the opportunity to move back into it. Prayer of restoration. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in another tongue, we want you to feel free to come forward to receive that. And of course, if you want prayer for healing, feel free to come forward for that. We have a miracle-working God. We've already received some wonderful testimonies of miracles, healing in our body. So with that said, with every head bowed, if you're here and that part of that has reached your heart and understand, please step out right now and come forward, anybody. Salvation, restoration, baptism of the Holy Ghost, prayer for physical healing, anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, right? Anybody else? Okay. Well, are you guys ready to go home? No? Awesome. Dear Heavenly Father, may your wonderful people have a very good day today. And Father, may they be victorious the rest of this week to meditate on what you're, by your Spirit, you shared with them. To give them heads up that you're looking, to give them favor with me. Amen. God bless you all. Have a good day. Hallelujah. Have a good day.